Praise the Lord. Again, good to see you. We begin this message. You can be turning in your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. And we began this message last Sunday morning. And I had several people ask about if I was going to go back to it. And so here we are, 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Dealing with the subject, learn to do it yourself. Learn to do it yourself. You've been told, just do it yourself. Well, there's some things you feel like you can't do in and of yourself, but we have a picture right here and recorded scripture of where David, the Bible says, encouraged himself in the Lord. And so I believe that's something we all should learn how to do and have an idea of how to do it. And this evening I want to look at 1 Samuel chapter 30 verses 1 through 8. And we'll be dealing with the rest of the chapter as well, so keep your Bibles open. And the Bible says in verse number 1, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south of Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite." Verse 6, which is our text verse, the Bible says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Verse 7 says, "And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Again, we're dealing with the subject, learning how to do it yourself. And I can't name the times that I have... somebody has come to me and been downtrodden and discouraged and felt like giving up. And if you live the Christian life long at all, you will experience that. There is seasons and times of discouragement. I get that way, you get that way, and it's important as we grow in the Lord to understand and to grow to a place that we realize we don't have to live there. You don't have to take that sitting down. There's something that you can do. David did it. He proved to us that it can be done, and he was going against all odds. Even those men that were near to him and for him, they were even all speaking of stoning him because they were grieved. Things don't always go as planned. Wouldn't you say amen to that? But wouldn't you flicker your lights at that? Things don't always go the way we planned them to go. Heartaches and hardships come in the Christian life, and it does rain on the just and the unjust. And God has been good to us, but we do go through times of heartache and grievous times. And don't you know these people, including David, were grieved to the heart, mourning and weeping to the point they could not weep anymore. They had no more power to weep. I would say they were grieving. and rightfully so. But David shows us, and through his life and through how he reacted and responded to this great tragedy, the Bible clearly says in verse 6 that David didn't go off and find himself in a cave and as Elijah did and be ready to give up and said, I'm not going to go preach anymore. I'm not going to go fight any more battles. I'm done. No, David was a man after God's own heart. And David, according to the Word of God, said that he encouraged himself. He encouraged himself. And so we need, I need, and I believe I'd be safe in saying you need to learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. What if now God's been good to us as of today. We're still able to meet together in public. We're still able to come together, gather together, worship together. Yes, it's different. Yes, it's not the same. We're not inside. We're separated. But right now, in 2020, there are places in the world where people cannot legally join together and worship. They cannot draw strength one from another in public worship. Or they'll be jailed or imprisoned or beaten or worse. Some even dead and killed and martyred. And so I take great joy in the fact we do get to gather together and draw strength one from another. There's power in that. But even in these circumstances, when things are at their best with the church, if we're indoors, you know this, and if you've been saved long, you know. Even when church is going on and it seems like everybody else is up, they can come times in my life and in yours where you're down at the bottom and you feel all alone and you feel like you need help. And how many times has a brother or a sister or a preacher or a message or a song sang or spoken or preached directly to you to lift you and to encourage you? Has God ever spoke to you that way when you're down? Oh yes, friend, he has me many, many times. But David, all the people, all the men, his closest men, they turned on him. They were ready to stone him because, you know what, listen, I'm sure David had been through a lot with these men. They had been at battle together. They had slew the multitude of those that hate God together. They had been through thick and thin together. But listen to this. You want me to tell you where things can get rocky? You want me to tell you where your friendship will be tested the most? Is when you start messing. Listen, you can say what you want to about me this evening. I've had words said, I promise. But when you lay your mouth or your fingers or anything else on my family, that's a whole different ballgame. That's hard. That's heavy duty stuff right there. And the devil knows that. And the devil will try his best. I've seen it so many times in the church. He will try to divide and conquer by. He knows he can't get to you unless he gets to them. And so here in the text, what was the method? What was the reason? How did this happen? He lost his wives and he lost his children. And boy, you're talking about being vulnerable. You're talking about being at a low spot. And so was the ones around him. So they were all distressed and disillusioned and at a place where they were discouraged to the max. And so my point is there was no one left. There was no one there for David to draw strength from. If he was going to get encouraged, if he was going to be strengthened and get help from the Lord, he didn't have a pastor to go to. He didn't have the brethren to go to. He didn't have anybody. So if it was going to happen, he had come to a place in his life where he realized if he was going to get encouragement, it's going to have to be him and God. And how many times have we got to the place where we depend wholly on other people to get encouragement? That ought not be. I think, as I said, I thank God for the encouragement that comes from others. But we need to learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. I truly believe in this generation, our country, this world, this wicked world will change in such fashion that this message right here will be absolutely imperative, because I don't think we're always going to have the freedom to worship. If we read the Word of God, the closer we get to the coming of God, the more persecution there will be, the smaller the real church will be. And so I'm telling you, now's the time. If you're ever going to learn, it's time now to learn how to encourage yourself. Now, they were here at Ziklag, and I'm just going to skip on down for time's sake and get to the message. We went over the introduction, so I hope you were here to get that. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. David asked, you remember I spoke, dealt with the verse where David told the priest, said, bring me the ephod. And we talked about how that was a garment that covered and stayed near the heart of the priest. And David needed that. He wanted that to encourage himself. And David prayed for direction. He said, Lord, I don't know which way to go. My family has been split. My children have been taken. My wives have been taken. And he needed direction. And you will come, as I do many times in the Christian life. You'll come to a place and there'll be a fork in the road. And you don't, is my children that way or are they that way? And you really don't know. And you'll need direction from God. And David understood that. Now, let me make this proposition. Every Christian should learn to encourage themselves in the Lord because of the following reasons. Now, we should learn to encourage ourselves in the Lord. If you're saved, you have the ability. If you're saved, you have the capability. You have what it takes in order to encourage yourself in the Lord. God has given us what we need in order to do that. Sometimes it's easier than others, but right here I want to look at three reasons that David encouraged himself in the Lord and that we should do the same. Number one, there's a family that must be recovered. David knew if I stayed despondent, if I stayed down and out, and if I stayed discouraged, my wives and my children have no hope. They will be in the enemy's hands and they will be gone forever. And so David understood he didn't have time to play around. He didn't have time to have a pity party. He didn't have time for that. No, he had to get serious about his heart and the things of God. And he didn't have time to wait till church service rolled around the next week. He didn't have time to wait for the Sabbath to come around the next week. By then, they'd be long gone. So what did David do? He encouraged himself in the Lord because he understood that his family must be recovered. Amen. And how many of us have family that needs a recovery? Three times. Verse 18, verse 19, I believe verse 22. The Bible says David fully recovered. He made a full recovery. Now he didn't wait till he had them in his hands and hugging them for him to find himself encouraged. No, he encouraged himself so that he could go get them. And so many times I feel we are waiting for God to answer the prayer and waiting for God to deliver and we're waiting and discouraged and down and out because we have not seen that prayer answered. We have not seen full deliverance. But David, and something we need and should learn, there is a family to recover. And so we can't wait for God to deliver. We can't wait for those prayers to be answered. It may be 20, 30 years before God answers that prayer. I know that's not encouraging, but it's the truth. I was preaching at a little church in Georgia, way about an hour and a half from where I lived, a little bitty old place, and I preached there for about a year and a half every other Sunday morning and had no idea why I was there. I almost left many times, and then one day, this old 93-year-old man, JC, called me and said, I need to get saved. And you know how long his wife, Aunt Ogle, as I called her, Aunt Ogle, had prayed faithfully for her lost husband over 60 years. 60 years she prayed for that man. Now, I'm sure they were seasons of discouragement. Over 60 years, I'm sure she probably thought, what's the use? I mean, I've been praying 50 years and he's still the same old mean old sinner man he's always been. Why? No, you know what she did? She'd encourage herself in the Lord because she knew that her, listen, she could not afford, she couldn't stand or bear to see her husband die without God. And so she prayed, but what if she'd have waited? What if she said, well, I've been doing this and she's discouraged, she's down and she hadn't seen the answer to God's prayer? My point is, if we wait till God answers the prayer, we're going to live a whole lot of our life in discouragement. And we don't have to do that. According to David, David went out in the power of God and encouraged in the Lord with a purpose to seek and to find and to rescue and to recover his family. And oh, how we can learn from that. There's a family that must be recovered. Verse 3, the Bible says, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Talking about Ziklag. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. So we see and we've read about the disaster. And I wish I could report to you this evening that disaster don't come to Christian families. But that would be a lie. Disaster happens. Big, bad, ugly things happen. Yes, to church members. Yes, to saved people. Yes, to lost people. But it does happen to us. Disaster will find you. And it will affect your family. It'll affect my family. It'll discourage you. But you can't live there. You can't live there. And David understood that. And we need to come to the place of understanding that. So we see the disaster. David was helpless to undo what had been done. In and of his own strength, he was helpless. He was not only, we see the disaster in verse 3, but the disappointment in verse 4. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Can you just hear the disappointment in those weeping sobs? Disappointed, yes. He had been busy for the Lord, only to come back and find out his family had been taken. He was disappointed. I'm sure you would never do this, but I'm almost confident. David probably looked toward heaven and said, Lord, I've been out doing your business. I've been out preaching and fighting and working for you, and this is how you treat me? He said, I would never do that. I didn't say you would, but I'll tell you personally, those thoughts have come through my mind before. Why is the drunk down the street who cusses your name and hates your guts and seems like he gets by with everything and you bless him and here I am trying to serve God and give you my life and I've got a... You took somebody in my family and you let this happen. It's easy to get disappointed even in the Lord. Wrongfully so, but it happens. And David experienced disappointment. And he wept till he couldn't cry anymore. Not only was he disappointed and he seen disaster, but the disapproval in verse 6, the criticism from others, that just adds insult to injury, but it is such a repetition in God's word and in life. When you're down, it's like an automatic, somebody gets in the process just ready to kick you when you're down. Especially church people. And it ought not be so, but it is. And he had the disapproval of his brethren. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man, for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. So we see the disaster and the disappointment. The disapproval. Not only, let me say this. There's a family that must be recovered. The second reason is there's the forsaken that must be revived. So what do you mean by that? Verses 11 through 13. If you would, look with me. There's a forsaken that must be revived. The Bible says in verse 11, and they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water. And verse 12 says, and they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. And for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, a servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days ago, or 3 days ago, I fell sick. And so we see he was forsaken. Do you know your flesh? I mentioned this Sunday, but do you know the Amalekites or the Amalekites? They are as good a picture and type of the flesh as you'll find in your Bible. And your flesh, just like this man forsook him, your flesh will forsake you. It'll get you and me in a mess and then forsake us. It is not our friend. As I said, and you've heard your whole life, the flesh is not your friend. No, it'll forsake you as this man found himself forsaken. And so we have a role to play. We have a ministry with those who have been forsaken. This world chews up and spits out people quicker than it can get its hands on. And there's people that's been forsaken all over the streets, all over the town. You can find forsaken people that are hungry and thirsty and needing somebody to help them. That's right. Oh, you may go to the rich side of town and find people who don't have the time of day for you. They don't want to hear what you've got to say. They don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want to hear nothing about God. Go spend some time with those that have been forsaken. They're way more apt to listen. They're way more hungry. They'll take some bread. They'll take some water. They will take some encouragement. And so we see this man forsaken, and he's being revived. Why should David encourage himself in the Lord? Why should we do the same? Because look what happened in David's life after he encouraged himself in the Lord. He found forsaken people, and he was able to revive them and restore them and give them purpose and reason to live. Had he stayed back having a pity party, drinking wine and drinking his troubles away, he'd have never found this man. There's no telling what all you and I could be doing for God this very day if we would get over what happened to us and encourage ourselves in the Lord and realize these people everywhere that are way less fortunate than we. There's people all over the place. Though bad seasons you may have had and I may have had, that's no reason to quit on God. That's no reason to slow down or stop on God. No, it's time to encourage ourselves in the Lord, because they are forsaken people out there that need reviving, and you can be used to reach them as David was. That forsaken man was a slave, verse 13 says. He was a servant to the Amalekite. Not only was he a slave, but he was starving. And that means slaves and servants of sin and the devil are all around us, and they're starving for something real. While they inject their veins full of poison, and while they soak down some more poison, and while they have tried everything they can try in this world that leaves them empty and hollow, they are looking and hungering and starving for something real. And had David went out in his discouraged state, he'd have never been able to find help and to reach this man who was starving. But there he is. In ministry, there he is after a tragedy had struck his house. There he is helping a man who was forsaken, and there David is reviving that man. He was a slave. He was starving. Verse 12 said he was sick. Verse 13, the Bible said he fell along sick. So this man had all kinds of troubles. In other words, David had some bad things happen to him, but here he is staring at a man that's way worse off than David. You know what I found? The bigger we make our problems, the smaller we see other people's. But the bigger we see other people's problems, the smaller our problems become. You want to get over what you've been under? Go get in business serving God. Go start giving bread to the hungry. Go start serving water to the stranger. Go and do something for somebody else, and it will give you purpose, and it will bring a soothing blessing to your heart. Don't live where you're laying. Get up and encourage yourself in the Lord. Serve. He was not only a slave and starving and sick, but he was searching. Hey, man, he was searching. He was searching for new life. He was searching for a new master and new friends. And can't we offer that? I promise you, upon the authority of God's word, we can offer every person, every stranger, everyone that's down and out, a new life and new friends and a new master that won't treat them the way this world and the devil has treated them. It was only after David encouraged himself and left his crying, he was able to meet this man and meet his needs. So not only do we see there's the family that must be recovered in verse 3 through 6, then there's a forsaken that must be revived, verses 11 through 13. Lastly, there's the flesh that must be resisted. If we're going to encourage ourselves in the Lord, you will have to. It is an imperative. It is an absolute must. If you cater to the flesh, if I cater to my flesh, I will not be encouraged. And neither will you. Yes, that's right. I'd love to have left this point off, but it is truth. And it's right here in the Bible, verses 14 through 19. The Bible says, we hadn't read this part, so I'm going to read it. The Bible says, we made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which... Mic off. I cut it back on my hand, did it? Can y'all hear me? Up, who blew the horn? No, I'm just kidding. I see the lights. All right. I wonder how long that's been out. They were here in silence. All right. Let me get my hands off of that. Verse number 15. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into thy hands, into the hands of thy master, and I will bring thee down to this company. You do understand what we're reading. This is David, and he's done found one of the servants of the Amalekites, and he's saying, where is your master? Can you take me to where they're at? And he says, I know where they're at. I know where your family's at. I know what, and I know where they're at. I can lead you to them. But you got to swear to me that you're not going to take my life. You got to swear to me you're not going to hurt me or hold me accountable. And David, that's what's going on here. David says, verse number 16, and when he had brought him down, behold, there were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. Just say this quickly before I read the last couple of verses. You can whoop your flesh and beat your flesh and crucify your flesh and mortify your flesh from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, and think you have it whooped. Think you've got it all. And there'll still be 400 young men raised up that you didn't get and that I didn't get. And they'll be there to fight another day. That's the flesh. That's what we must understand. We've got to resist that flesh. The Bible says, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. What a testimony. What a testimony. When the devil marches into my home and into my neighborhood and intrudes where I'm living and snatches things away from me, not just things in generic, but very important things to me, my children. If he invades my marriage and gets a hold of my wife, God forbid. But if that happened to David, it can happen to me and it can happen to you. You say, well, bless God, the world ain't getting a hold of my children. Hang on. I'm not that goofy to make that statement. I humbly beg the Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord, put a hedge around my children. Let me live a life that's pleasing unto you, that's real and genuine, that my children will know that I love the Lord and serve him. Lord, please don't let me be a stumbling block to my children. But I'm not so foolish to believe that the devil cannot invade. It happened to Job, who was a perfect and upright man and eschewed evil. If it happened to Job, it happened to David, I promise you, friend, it can happen to you. And when it does, we must know why we should and how we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. Because if we don't learn that we should do that and that we can do that, listen, when that tragedy strikes your home and my home, it's usually enough to make us become castaways, to get us bitter and angry at God, to get us to a place where we throw the towel in and says, if this is what serving God does, I'm done with it. I've had enough of it. You'd be amazed at how many casualties of war, spiritual war, they are, who have seen the guts of ministry and said, I've had enough of that. I can name you 10, just right off the top of my head, I can name you 10 preacher's children right now, grown, and will not go up into a church. They won't have nothing to do with church because they've seen so many church people and how hypocritical they can be. Oh, I know that's not popular preaching, but that is the truth. You think nobody's watching? You think other children are not watching? You think other family? Hey, what do you think? Lord, help me not to get on this and that, but what do you think? What good do you think is coming from when you bring your children, when we in service, out from preaching, and you get in the car and start biting and backbiting and murmuring and gossiping and complaining and talking and running down the preacher? What do you think? What good? Even if you're right, do you understand that you are destroying the foundation for your child? And I could go in any direction, but that's just one very prevalent. But the things of God are important. There's always a much bigger picture than what we're looking at. Amen? And I don't want to lose, listen, I don't want to lose my children. I don't want to lose my family. I don't want to see you lose your children. I don't want to see you lose your marriage. Amen. So we must learn and understand why we should encourage ourselves in the Lord. And we got to do the flesh to do that. The Bible says, and we're done. The Bible says in verse 16, talk about the great spoil. The unsaved and God's people had been ravaged by the enemy. Verse 17, it's a 24-hour, it's 24-7. Listen, when we're talking about resisting the flesh, it's 24-7. From the time you wake up to the time you shut your eye, must constantly resist, deny, die, mortify your members. Yes. They won the battle, but 400 got away. And that's the story of our life, to fight another day. Listen, we're not going to win the battle completely until we get to heaven. So we will constantly fight through this journey on the way. But it's worth it. It's worth it. You know what? David got his wife back. David got his children back. I'd say he was rejoicing. I'd say he was happy in the Lord. Had he threw in the towel, he'd have never got them back. And God's sending this to us, hey, to let us know, fight another day. Go another round. Keep going for the Lord. Don't quit. Don't quit. It ain't time to quit. We can cry, and you can be greatly distressed, as David was, and look for somebody to stone for your problems. That's what I was just talking about. You can always find somebody to blame for your problems. And if you can't think of somebody, I promise you, the devil will give you somebody. That's what these guys did. They didn't know who come and got their wives and stole their children, but they immediately turned their ammunition and their aim to David. Well, that's a common problem. That's a common place. Well, you the leader, so it's you're at fault. And they were going to stone him. And I'm saying you can always find somebody to cast blame and stone. But what's the real answer? What's the mature answer? What's the right answer? Not to blame somebody else. That's an age-old method. That goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. Oh, I didn't do it. It was him. I didn't do it. It was the serpent. It's always somebody else passing the buck. You know, let me tell you what, the mature, godly, Christian, right way to handle this situation, encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Learn to fight and grow in the Lord and get close to God and spend some time praying and encourage yourself to fight another day. Casting blame on somebody else don't fix nothing. It don't fix nothing. Only after killing the flesh and denying yourself and mortifying your members and taking up your cross daily, denying and dying to yourself and reckoning yourself to be dead, can we walk into the enemy's camp and take back what the enemy took from us. We won't walk into the devil's camp and haphazardly, happy-go-lucky, just stroll into the enemy's territory and grab what's ours and walk out. No, it don't happen that way. There'll have to be a plan. There'll have to be a strategy. You'll have to be strong in the Lord. If you're going to fight that battle, you better go encouraged. Encouraged in the Lord. And we will never die to the flesh and win that battle until we learn to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Amen. All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your patience.